Good morning. I hope you guys are having a great start to the new year. As you may be able to tell, I'm a little stopped up this morning. But it's great to have all these guys on stage because all I got to do is just sit here and look pretty. So shouldn't be hard, right? Well, it might be pretty hard. I don't know. Hey, listen, I need to tell you guys real quickly. You will notice this morning as we're singing, go ahead and bring up the first slide of the first song. We had I had a technical issue last night that I went to update ProPresenter last night and it completely crashed. And so I spent 3 hours trying to get it working. And finally what we ended up having to do was download a trial version to a new computer. So there's going to be a watermark that keeps coming up as we're singing the song, okay? So we can do this two ways. We can just like sing really fast and then stop when it gets to the watermark. I was thinking we might be able to do like a musical chairs kind of thing, you know, when the watermark comes off. But that's going to be just complete chaos. But so just know that we're going to keep moving when that watermark comes up. You guys should know these songs well enough that we're just going to keep right on going, okay? So I want to apologize to y'all for that. And we will have that corrected next week. I want to give you announcements, and then we're going to get started in our service. We have one announcement, and that is that we will start back on Wednesday night, January the 25th. We will begin having Wednesday night a Bible study, and we're going to start that night off with a prayer meeting, okay? So January 25th, we're going to be praying for our church, our community, for just whatever we need to be praying about. And there's a lot of stuff to be praying about, so make sure that you come on the 25th and we'll get started. So, man, it's so good to be back with you guys this week. I missed y'all last week. I really did. I missed y'all. Well, thank you. It's nice to have, you know, goofball over here that you can just. Yeah, go ahead, man. He deserves it. It's awesome because you leave and you go, I don't have to worry about this. I don't have to worry about what's going on. And it's such a blessing, you know, to have people that are here. And so it's I appreciate you, brother, doing that. And I appreciate you guys helping out. And so anyway, let's pray this morning and we'll go ahead and get started in our service. Lord, thank you so much for bringing us here. Thank you for this new year, Lord, for giving us life to go into 2023. Lord, I am so excited to see what it is that what you are going to do for Chapel Hill Bible Fellowship and how you're going to use us in this community in this coming year. Lord, lives that are going to be changed. I believe you for it. I know that, Lord, you have great things in store for our church body and for each individual person that's out here. Lord, I know that you have great things for us. And I pray that you help us to focus our attention this morning. Lord, all the technical issues and the distractions and the whatever may be going on, let us just put that aside this morning. I ask you, Lord, and I pray that we focus on you, that we bring glory to you with our worship, Lord, and I pray that you will be well pleased with it. Praise you, Lord, for who you are and for all that you do. We pray these in the precious name of Jesus. Amen. Now, if you guys would, let's go ahead and stand up and sing.
Fall, hope you cannot survive when we pray you. The creation cry, God, we praise you.
Some scratchy vocals get in the way of worshiping today, Ari. We got to sound great. Let's keep going.
Drowns all music. sound awesome today, don't they? Amen. Our reading today is going to come from Romans chapter 6. If you want to turn there in your Bibles, we're going to start in verse 8. But before we get there, you know, something that that I tell people a lot. If you want to know what God is, you're not really sure where to start studying this Bible. The book of John's a great place to start. He'll tell you who he is in no uncertain terms. But then Romans is an excellent book to follow that up, because in the book of Romans, Paul tells us what it all means. And so if you're looking for a place to start, John and Romans are really good places. But the reading today is something that's near and dear to my heart. Speaks to our sanctification as believers. So I'd like to open us today, rather than closing the reading, I'd like to open it with a prayer for each one of us, that if we have any unrepentant sin in our heart, that we would really listen to the words that we're about to read here. Father, I just want to thank you for today. I want to thank you for the will, the health, the resources, the ability for us to come together here as believers, Father, to sharpen and edify each other in your word. Well, I ask that you be with Pastor Mel, the message that he's going to bring. And I thank you for Hudson and the message that he has brought and the teaching in the book of John. I just ask that you be with us, Father, right now in the book of Romans, and your word that you speak to us in the present tense through Paul. So many years ago, 2,000 years ago, and yet you still speak in the present tense, relevant to each one of us, Father. And I just ask, if there's any unrepentant sin here in any one of us, myself especially, Father, just, Father, forgive us. Put the conviction on our heart that we would turn from that sin, that we would seek repentance, that we would seek forgiveness, and that we would commit our lives turning from that and staying focused on you. Father, your word is truth. Your word is life. Just ask that you be with us now as we read this together. This in your Son, Jesus' name. Amen. Romans 6, verse 8. Now, if you have died with Christ, big if you have died with Christ, we believe that we shall also live with him, knowing that Christ, having been raised from the dead, is never to die again. Death no longer has master over him. For the death that he died to sin once for all. He died once for all of us. But the life that he lives, now he lives to God. Even so, consider yourselves to be dead to sin, but alive to God in Jesus Christ. Listen to this, folks. This part will convict you. Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lusts. And don't go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God. For sin shall not be master over you, for you're not under the law, but you're under grace. And everything that we do, present your bodies, present yourself, present your mind, present your thoughts as a living sacrifice to Christ every day. Amen.
We are no longer slaves to sin. Thank God for the victory that he gives us. This next song is a song that's taken right, it's a scripture right out of Numbers. And this is my prayer for each one of you this year, that 2023 you experience the goodness and the faithfulness of God greater than you ever have any other time this year. That there's healing, whatever that healing may be, whether it's spiritual, emotional, physical healing. that you have that this year. When you place your faith in God. And I just pray great and wonderful things for you. We're singing this through a couple of times and then I'll get you guys to sing it with us.
Savior, and when we speak that name of Jesus,
There is power in it. Praise you, Lord, for that. I just praise you, God, for all that you do for us, for all that you are going to do for us, Lord. And I pray that as this year goes on, that we are going to hear testimony after testimony after testimony of how you have moved in people's lives in great ways that can only be explained that it was an act of God. Lord, I look forward to hearing those testimonies. I look forward to all the things that you have planned for us. Thank you for being with us today, Lord. I love you, and I thank you so much for these folks that are here today. I thank you so much for these guys on the stage, Lord, and I'm so grateful and thankful to be part of this. And I praise you in Jesus' name. Amen.
It's on, doesn't it? Oh, it's a lot better when it's on. Happy New Year. If you're our guest this morning, we're thrilled to have you with us today. And on these tables, on each side over here, these little gray tables, you'll find all kinds of information about the church. I'd love for you to stop by there and visit that table and pick up whatever you like. There's some visitor cards there, too, if you would take a moment and fill that out so we can have a record of your visit and have the opportunity to thank you properly for visiting us. And just very excited to have you with us this morning. This is a special place. It's a special place, but what makes this place special is what happens here. The people who gather here, what the purpose we gather for, and I think that you'll agree by the time you're done that this is kind of a special thing. I want to also invite you to keep Paula Sorber in your prayers as well. I don't know if you saw the email that I sent out last night, a prayer request for her. She fell. She got banged up pretty good. Please pray for Paula. And Kurt, you know, she's kind of out of commission, and so he's tending to her and working and everything. And we're getting a meal train together, so keep an eye out for that and look for an opportunity to minister to Kurt and Paula. And in the meantime, I want to invite you now, if you would, open your Bible to Romans chapter 12. Oh, one other thing I nearly forgot. Alice asked me to mention this. I think this is in light of what happened with Paula falling. They're looking for a little bit of help moving a lift chair from Paula's house or from Alice's house to Paula's house and then a couch from the other way. So if you have a pickup and a little bit of arm power, come talk to Alice, and I know that she'll be very, very happy to receive some help. Romans chapter 12 this morning, kind of following up where we left off last week. Last week we looked at Matthew chapter 2, the wise men went to see Jesus, and talked about some of the different attitudes towards the arrival of Jesus, towards his presence and the reality of Jesus, and built off a statement from John the Baptist, where John the Baptist, looking at his own ministry and the rise of Jesus into his ministry, and he said to his disciples, this is John the Baptist speaking to his disciples, they couldn't understand why everybody was leaving John and going to follow Jesus. And John said, this is how it has to be. John explained, he must increase, I must decrease. And so kind of on the heels of that, I want to go into Romans chapter 12 and talk about this matter of Christ increasing and us decreasing. And Paul kind of hits on that in some ways in Romans chapter 12. And as I write this sermon, I think back, I started thinking of Miss Rose. She was my kindergarten teacher. I love Miss Rose. She was a wonderful, wonderful lady, and taught us kids lots of things. Miss Rose taught me how to dance. I remember the music. I can remember the music in the background and the lyrics as Miss Rose taught me to dance. Put your left arm in, put your left arm out, put your left arm in. Let me guess, that's where you learn to dance too, right? It goes through the whole shoot and match, the right arm, left leg, right leg, put your head in. And the last verse says, you put your whole self in, you put your whole self out, you put your whole self in, shake it all about. And, that's what it's all about, the hokey pokey. And when I read this passage from Romans 12, 1 and 2, it makes me think of that silly song. And because basically what Paul is telling us in Romans chapter 12, verse 1 is, look, it's time to be all in. This is about being all in. What does it mean to be all in? What does it look like? How do you do that? And, he says, look, like the hokey pokey, it's time to put your whole self in. You want to shake yourself about? That's your business. He doesn't say to do that, but you can do it if you want, I'm sure. But Romans chapter 12, this is a wonderful couple of verses here. You know, there are these verses in Scripture. You know, you've got these landmark moments in your walk with God, right? And a lot of these landmark moments in your walk with God, you can kind of relate back to a verse of Scripture or a passage of Scripture. God spoke to you in some way in His Word, and it brought about a new way of thinking in you that resulted in a change in the way that you live your life. And so these landmark moments are often related to some passage of Scripture. For me, the most, you know, aside from coming to Christ to begin with for salvation, the thing that made the biggest difference in my life, the most outstanding landmark moment in my walk with God, came out of these passages. And so these verses, Romans 12, 1 and 2, are near and dear to my own heart. And but this is what Paul says. He says, "Therefore I urge you, brethren, by the mercies of God, to present your bodies a living and holy sacrifice acceptable to God, which is your spiritual service of worship. And do not be conformed to this world, but be transformed by the renewing of your mind, so that you may prove what the will of God is, that which is good and acceptable and perfect." And, you know, we're just going to look at this verse, you know, verse 1 this week, and we'll pick up verse 2 next week. And really, 2 weeks just doesn't seem like enough to cover these. Martin Lloyd-Jones wrote commentary on the book of Romans, and it's like a 5-volume work. And a couple of hundred pages he spent just on these two verses. Several chapters of that commentary spent just on these two chapters, just kind of give you an idea of the depth of them. But we'll kind of walk through it, and we're going to cover some of that depth ourselves today and next week. And, you know, the first word of the passage is therefore. And, you know, a good practice to get into when you're studying the Scripture is whenever you come across the word therefore, you got to look back and see what it's there for, right? It's there for a reason. So what's it there for? Well, it points us back to everything that was said. In other words, Paul is looking back at everything he said. He says, "I told you all of this, and I told you all of that, and now I'm going to tell you this because of what I just told you." So everything I'm saying is connected to what I just told you. And he uses that word therefore several times throughout this book. But this one is particularly important because it brings us to the very apex of the entire book, as far as I can tell. Everything is building to this Romans chapter 12, verse 1 and 2, and then everything else from here on out is just kind of commentary on how to live out verses 1 and 2 in so many ways. And he spent the first 11 chapters of the book really just laying out a lot of doctrine. And I mean, there's a lot of practical stuff in there, but, you know, doctrine's practical. But there's a lot, it's primarily doctrinal, all centered around the person and the work of Jesus Christ. But from chapter 12 forward, he makes practical application of all the doctrine to matters of daily life. And that's kind of how he does his things. You look at Galatians, that's what he does. And Colossians, I mean, he just kind of first the doctrine, and then this is how this all relates to life. This is what it looks like when the rubber hits the road, so to speak. And the word therefore connects it all. This is who Jesus Christ is. This is what Jesus Christ has done for you. Therefore, you ought to offer your body to Him as a living sacrifice, a living and holy sacrifice. And the idea of offering a sacrifice is something that everybody in that day was familiar with, whether they were Jew or Gentile. They all offered sacrifices. We know in the Old Testament, the Jews had the sacrificial system in these prescribed times, and they would bring animals of certain sorts for these various offerings. And then the Gentiles also offered sacrifices to their gods. But you know, when Paul talks about sacrifice, of course, what he has in mind is the Old Testament. Five main sacrifices in the Old Testament, in the Old Covenant, they're all described in the book of Leviticus. And I think the one that Paul has in mind here, really, when he writes Romans chapter 12, verse 1, is the first one, the burnt offering. The person offering the sacrifices, they would bring an animal, a bull, a goat, or a dove, or depending on what you could afford, and they bring it to the temple, they give it to the priest. And the priest would take it back, and he'd kill the animal and lay the entire animal on the altar, and it would be burnt up in its entirety. That's the burnt offering. But that's not the kind of sacrifice. I mean, I think that's what Paul has in mind kind of in the background as he writes chapter 12, verse 1. But it's not the kind of sacrifice he's urging us to make in chapter 12, verse 1. Rather than a priest offering the body of an animal as a dead sacrifice, he's telling us, he says, you offer your body as a living sacrifice. And so, kind of a difference. I mean, there's still sacrifice going on, but it all looks very, very different. And this business of offering our bodies as living sacrifices, you know, this isn't a new thing that he's starting really here in the book of Romans. Again, you know, this is attached to what he's already told us. And he's kind of revisiting some themes that he's already raised in the book of Romans. And we saw that already in Romans chapter 6, that portion of scripture that Bill read for us a moment ago. Romans chapter 6, he said in verses 12 and 13, he said, "Therefore, do not let sin reign in your mortal body so that you obey its lusts. Do not go on presenting the members of your body to sin as instruments of unrighteousness, but rather present yourselves to God as those alive from the dead, and your members as instruments of righteousness to God." So we really, I mean, that's a thought he's building on here in Romans 12. And we've been raised from spiritual death to life in Christ. We've been born again. We've been made into a new creation. Therefore, we leave death behind. We leave death and everything related to that old death behind, the sin and everything else. We leave it all behind and we live out lives as a new creation. We're living a new life. We're pursuing new things. And so we've got to quit presenting ourselves as a sacrifice to sin for unrighteousness, but rather, once and for all, present ourselves as sacrifices to God for the purposes of righteousness. And the challenge here, It's a challenge. It's a challenge just once and for all resolve to do this. And then follow through with this resolve every day for the rest of your life. That's why it's called a living sacrifice. It's a sacrifice that you kind of wake up and you offer it new each day before your feet hit the floor. This day is for you. This day is for you. This day is for the glory of God. The animals offered at the temple, that was different, right? You bring your animal up there, you're never going to see it again. He ain't going home with you. He's going to be killed. He's going to be laid on the altar. That's it. He's going to be consumed by the fire. Gone. No more. It's just a once and done thing. And but you present your body as a living sacrifice. That's a perpetual thing. That's an ongoing thing. And so what Paul's urging us to do here really is to commit ourselves to living a life of sacrifice. He's challenged us to yield every single part of life to God. I mean, every single part of our lives to God, every single moment of every single day laid down for the purposes of God. And that's where the idea of this being a holy sacrifice comes in. You offer yourselves a living and a holy sacrifice. That word holy, major word in the Scripture, big word in the Scripture. It's there again and again and again. And it would behoove us to understand something about what it means to be holy. To be, you know, to present your body as a holy sacrifice means you declare all this once and for all, set apart for the purposes of God. You know, I'm laying it down because it belongs to God. It's set apart. It's for His purposes. My life, my existence is for Him. The hours of my day, the days of my week, the weeks of my month, it's all for Him. It all belongs to Him. Every thought, every deed, every word, every desire, every goal, every passion, every possession, everything. There's not a part of your life this doesn't include. And there's no moment in life that's exempt from it. Again, what he's calling for here is the biggest commitment you're ever going to make. This idea of being a living sacrifice, it's a 24-hour-a-day, 7-day-a-week, 365-day-a-year job. That's the gig. There aren't off days. There's not vacation time. There's not a retirement plan from it. It's the most extensive and complete and comprehensive commitment you can possibly make. And, again, it makes me think of the hokey pokey. I mean, you know, some of us just kind of got an arm in. Some of us just have a leg in. You know, you poke your head in a little bit or whatever, but he wants you all in. You know, you think of the hokey pokey. You know, I think of the old Western movies too, right? You know, I like to watch Western movies. We can't really watch Western movies in our house because we have a dog that's got an issue with horses. And if he sees a horse on TV, he goes apes, you know. And Dogs too. He sees other dogs or animals. Babies, I don't understand it. I don't know. But we can't watch Westerns. But in the Western movies, there's always a gambling scene, right? You know, they're in the saloon, they're gathered around the table, and, you know, everybody's sitting there with their cards, and one guy, he says, "I'm all in," and he shoves his chips all into the middle of the table, and, you know, camera goes around, and one by one, everybody just kind of tosses their cards, you know, and then one guy, he shoves his card, and he says, "I'm all in," and he shoves his chips into the table, and the first guy shoves him under the table, reaching for his gun, you know, but it's, yeah, you know how it goes, all in. You know, I'm withholding nothing. I am fully committed to this. That's what it means. All in. I'm fully committed. All the chips are on the table. And I think that's what Paul is looking for here. He's looking for that type of a commitment. He all in. Look, I tell you what, when Christ came to this earth, He came for the purpose of going to the cross. I mean, we talked about this in the Christmas season, the incarnation, the whole purpose of God coming to the earth in human flesh was for the purpose of bearing our sin on a cross. And I tell you, when Jesus came, He was all in. He's all in when He went to the cross and dealt with our sins so that we could have eternal life. And He wants us all in. And you know, He certainly deserves that much. He deserves that much. He doesn't deserve anything less than a full commitment. Paul says when you do this, when you go all in for Jesus, when you sell out to Him so completely, as we described here, he says it's your spiritual service of worship. He says this is your spiritual service of worship. That word worship is important here because that's what this offering of the sacrifice, this laying down of your life is. It's an act of worship. And really, we talk about offering ourselves as living sacrifices being an ongoing deal. Really, we're talking lifestyle. This is a change of the way you live your life. All the patterns of life that you've had in the past, you bring them all in submission to Jesus Christ under this commitment. And you're talking about a lifestyle deal. And so this, if offering your body as a sacrifice is an act of worship, well, offering yourself as a living sacrifice, holy, living in holy, we're talking about lifestyle worship here. We got to get out of this idea that worship is an event. Right? Because if we just view worship as an event, then we view worship as just being a part of our life. An hour of our time each week. You know, we go to worship. We talk about going to church. We go to worship, what have you. You know, we think of 11 to noon or 12:15 or whatever time it is whenever I finally finish. We think of that as being worship, right? An event. But Paul says, no, it's not an event. It's your life. It's just not something you do. It's who you are. It's the totality of who you are. It's a lifestyle. You know, the word lifestyle, it speaks of a particular way of living your life, right? The characteristic things that go into the way that you ordinarily do life, you know, your habits, your attitudes, your values, your philosophies, your actions and activities, the things that you do for entertainment, everything that feeds into the way you approach and live out your life. That's your lifestyle. And this call to present our bodies to God as living and holy sacrifices is nothing less than a call to harness all those things and focus them in on this issue of giving glory and honor to Jesus Christ. That can't just be something that's part of your life. That's got to be something that defines you. You know, God never intended worship to be a part of life. He always intended it to be the totality of your life, not just certain thing that happens on certain days, at certain places, at certain times. It's to be the defining characteristic of the way that we live out every moment of life. You know, we were created for fellowship with God. We talk about that a lot. I don't think we talk as often about the fact that we were created really for His pleasure. That's why God created us, for His pleasure, for His own happiness. That's why God created you. That's why God created me. You know, regardless of the circumstances of how you came into this world, you know, I hear about people talking about, well, I was an accident. Not in God's economy, all right? Every human being, every single one of you, He created intentionally. He created you on purpose. He created you with a plan that predates your own existence, a plan for your life that goes back to eternity past, long before you came into being. He created you, and he created you for His pleasure. He didn't create you because He needs you. You understand that? He created you because He wants you. And that's even better. He exists for His glory, His purposes, and His pleasure. And this is the primary purpose of your life. This is the very purpose of your being. People wonder, what's the purpose of life? The glory of God, the pleasure of God. And, you know, really worship, I mean, that's a very complex topic in so many ways. And I think we make it more complex than it needs to be. There are a lot of these topics that, you know, these big complex topics you could boil down to some simple terms. And I think worship could be defined very simply as bringing pleasure to God. You know, and it just, when you just boil it down to its just raw elements, I mean, the end result is you're seeking the smile of God. I think that's really kind of what you can boil worship down to. And worship as a lifestyle means that you're obsessed with His smile, right? You're obsessed with the idea of bringing a smile to the face of God, obsessed with His honor, obsessed with His glory. And, you know, this is the thing that makes this living sacrifice thing and holy sacrifice, this is the thing that makes it acceptable to God. Is this heart desire to be pleasing to Him. This heart desire to satisfy Him. You know, here's the deal. There are people who say, oh, well, you know, it's impossible for man to satisfy God. And, you know, there's a sense in which I suppose that's right. But, I mean, you know, Scripture says, apart from faith, it's impossible to please God. But the suggestion there is that if you have faith in Jesus Christ, that's the beginning of all possibility. You place your faith in Jesus Christ, you're on the road. You've begun pleasing God now because you're stepping into the purpose that you were created for. And we still have sin. We still mess up. We still, you know, royally blow it. But the fact of the matter is that, you know, if my heart is in this commitment to live for His glory, then even whenever I messed up royally, He's still pleased with me. You know, this is an acceptable sacrifice. It doesn't say it has to be perfect. I have to do this perfectly in order for it to be acceptable. It's acceptable because I'm doing it and I want to do it. That's the thing that makes it pleasing, is this is what I want. Yeah, I remember the kids were little, you know, they go out in the yard and they play, you know, and if I hadn't mowed the yard in a little while, you get the little yellow dandelions that pop up. And the kids would pick those and they bring them to the house, and then usually it wasn't a stem, it was just the top part. They get, yeah, picked to a flower, you know. It's not perfect. In fact, it's kind of destroyed. And really it's a weed. But boy, it brings a smile to your face. Because the intention, the love, the motive. And I think that, you know, sometimes we when we come to God and we live in our life, I mean, we're doing our best, but we mess up all the time. It's like bringing those flowers that are just kind of mutilated and not really worth having, but it makes you smile. Because there's a love behind it that fuels the commitment. You know, I had a guy years ago who started attending a church I pastored in Fort Worth. he was a new Christian, and it was kind of a long, interesting story behind his conversion. He was kind of reluctant to become a Christian. He kind of rode into town, and you know, and he wound up at the doorstep of a friend, so to speak, at another church, and you know, looking for some help. And my friend just kept witnessing to him, kept on, just pounding him with the gospel. And finally, the guy said, "All right, fine, I put my faith in Jesus. Can you help me out now with finding a halfway house or whatever?" And that's kind of how he was converted—a very reluctant conversion, to say the least. And he wound up coming to the church that I pastored. And I remember one Sunday, the first Sunday he came, you know, I was teaching the men's Sunday school class at the time, and he came, and none of the other men showed up, which is really kind of a weird deal, but it was rather providential. So it was just me and this guy. His name was Kent. And I remember, we're just kind of talking, and, you know, I've got this lesson, and it's kind of weird to teach a lesson to one guy, you know, and so we're just talking. And finally, he just blurts out this question. He goes, "What's this all about? What's this all about?" And, it kind of caught me off guard, that question, I guess. I said, "What do you mean?" He said, "This, all of this. Christianity, what is the goal of this?" Really, he's trying to figure out what he committed himself to, you know. It's like, what's the goal of it all? What's the purpose? And I quoted 1 Corinthians chapter 10, verse 31, where Paul says, "Whatever you do, do all to the glory of God." I said, that's the purpose of this. And you know, whatever you do. Whatever you do. That's kind of a comprehensive word, isn't it? Whatever. It leaves no stone unturned, that word. And he said, "Well, how do you do that?" And he's kind of getting a little angry. He said, "That's impractical. How do you practically do that?" And I said, "Well, it's rough when you start. But you grow into it. It's a process. You know, and even after you've done it for a long time, you don't do it right always. I mean, it's the longer you go with it, the more you enjoy it, the better you do it, the more sensible it becomes, the more practical it becomes, the more in love with it you fall." How do you do it? How is it possible to do everything for the glory of God? Well, Colossians 3:23, Paul tries to simplify it. He does this in a couple of places. He says, "Whatever you do, do your work heartily as for the Lord rather than for men." You're doing this for the smile of God, not the smile of people. You're doing it for the applause of God, not the applause of people. You're doing it because at the end, this has got an eternal value that goes, that transcends this world and everything going on in this world. And if you're just doing it for men, then you're just kind of doing it for purposes that have a termination. But whenever you're doing it for God, you're doing it for something much, much greater. There's something much more valuable. It infuses value into everything you do. And whenever your value, everything you're doing is infused with the value of eternity and the smile of God, then your life becomes infused with that same value. And this is it. I mean, it's just, you do it for Jesus Christ. You do it for Him. Not for all the other things that we tend to do everything for. I mean, we have this idea that we're here to raise kids, send them to college, make sure they get good jobs and they can support us when we're old. You know, and just be sure you're getting the bills paid and be sure that, you know, you're taking care of these things and getting the oil changed, whatever. But, you know, we can reduce life to these things that at the end of the day, they don't mean anything. Because they're just done for the here and now. But whenever we do these things for Jesus Christ, now everything takes on greater value. This is the key to the lifestyle of worship, and that's the main idea behind this call to offer our bodies to God as living and holy sacrifices, doing everything with the goal of bringing a smile to the face of God. Everything becomes worship when we dedicate it to that purpose. Everything becomes worship when we dedicate it to that purpose. Now, for a lot of people, this still sounds just really unreasonable. I mean, because they recognize that this means a lot more than tweaking some behavior, you know. What Paul is looking for here is the commitment to turn your whole life upside down, you know? And ultimately, this is what it does. It turns life upside down. A complete rearrangement of life. I mean, scrapping our old values, adopting some new different values. It means forging entirely new philosophies. It means gradually moving into a completely different way of living life. All right? And it is gradual. Because we're learning as we go. But still there is this question, okay? I'm saved. I'm saved by the grace of God, not by works. I'm saved simply because He offered me this gift. And like a beggar, I reached out the hand of faith and received it. Okay, so I'm saved by His grace. My salvation can't be lost. God's not going to take it away from me. Otherwise, it's not salvation by grace. Okay, you got to understand that. I mean, you know, we do a lot of violence to grace sometimes, but it's not going anywhere. So why would I bother with doing this that Paul's talking about here in Romans 12:1? Why would I bother with this? I mean, if all is well for eternity, why bother with this living sacrifice thing? Well, Paul says it's because it's a reasonable thing to do. Offer your body to God as a living and holy sacrifice. This is your spiritual service of worship, he says. The Greek word, well, a lot of our English translations, you know, have that word spiritual there. The Greek word is logikos. So some translations instead render it, well, how you think it ought to be rendered when you hear that word logikos. Logic, that's where we get our English word logic and logical. It comes from this Greek word. This word's used a couple of times in the Scripture here. I think 1 Peter chapter 2 somewhere it's there. But it's never translated. I don't know why they don't. Because, I mean, the idea is this makes good sense. This is logical worship. This is reasonable worship. And what makes it logical? What makes it reasonable? Well, we go back to that word, therefore. Therefore, brethren, in light of God's mercies. Remember, that's where he started. In light of God's mercies, in view of God's mercies, by the mercies of God, this is an entirely logical thing. And you know, Paul could have given us any number of reasons for doing this. But he goes for the big one here. He goes for the big one here. The most compelling reason of all. The mercies of God. You know, he could have commanded us to do this. But again, I think the thing in the back of his mind is the free will offering. And a free will offering isn't really a free will offering if you're made or you're put under compulsion to do it. It's got to be something that's offered because you want to bring it. And so he doesn't command us to do it. He urges us. He wants us to want to do this. And so what does he do? He pulls a dirty trick. He says, consider the mercy of God here. Oh, how can you say no to that? I mean, the mercies of God, that's the subject of the first 11 chapters of the book. I mean, it's all about Jesus Christ and what he did for us. The mercy that God afforded to us through Jesus Christ and what he did at that cross. Romans 3:24, justified as a gift by His grace through the redemption which is in Jesus Christ. Romans 5:8, God demonstrates His love toward us in that while we were yet sinners, Christ died for us. That's mercy. For the wages of sin is death, but, well, that's a great word there, but the free gift of God is eternal life in Christ Jesus our Lord. The mercies of God over and over and over and over again on display throughout the books of Romans, throughout everywhere. Romans 8:1, there is now therefore no condemnation for those who are in Christ Jesus. The mercy of God. Front row and center. I mean, center stage in the first 11 chapters of the book of Romans. And Paul says, all right, now I've told you all of this. I've taught you everything about mercy. Now you look at that mercy. This is what you ought to do. And he says, this is reasonable. This is logical. This makes good sense. In fact, in light of God's mercy, anything different than this just doesn't make any sense at all. I mean, forgiveness of sin, redemption, justification, righteousness, peace, joy, comfort, strength, wisdom, hope, security, freedom, adoption into the family of God, resurrection to eternal life, all of it accomplished at the cross of Jesus Christ, guaranteed in His resurrection from death back to life. It's all about what He did for us. Looking at who He is, what He did, how else should we respond? There's only one right response. There's only one response that makes any sense. Romans 12:1, offer your body to God as a living and holy sacrifice. Look, I want to be very, very clear here as we wrap things up. Yeah, it's time to wrap up. Okay. I want to make sure I'm not doing this early to freak anybody out, you know. And golly, boy, New Year, hey, we're doing things different. But look, I want to be very clear. The message here is not do this and be saved. Okay? That's not the message here. That is not what Paul's saying. He's not saying offer your body as a living sacrifice so that you can be saved. He's not saying do this and be saved. That's not the message. The message here is you have been saved. Now do this. Right, this is your response. If you've experienced His mercies, you know that this is a sensible thing to do. I invite you to stand with me as we wrap things up today. Again, He created you for His own pleasure. Things went haywire in the garden, didn't they? Sin comes into the human condition. We're fallen. And He would have been perfectly justified if He just, wadded it all up, threw it in the trash, right? He would have been perfectly justified to do that. He's God. He's holy. He does not owe us a thing, but out of His love and His great mercy and His grace, He came to this earth in human flesh, again, for the purpose of bearing our sin on a horrible, horrible cross. And He died at that cross to take our sin away, as Bill read this morning from Romans 6. And He rose again. Out of His mercy and out of His love. And then I'll tell you what, that ought to tell you something of the value that God places on your life. I mean, when God says, you know what, I would die for that, you got to understand that's something that is exceptionally valuable. He died for you. He considers you valuable enough to keep around for eternity. That's how much He loves you. And what do you do in response to that? What do you do in response to that? Well, again, the author of Hebrews says that apart from faith, it's impossible to please God. That's where it's got to start. It's got to start with turning to Him, trusting Him, recognizing, all right, there's a problem here I can't solve on my own, never will be able to. This problem of sin and eternity, death, I mean, it's bigger than I am. I can't do it. God's promised He can and that He does it through Jesus Christ. I will turn to Christ. I'll place my faith in Him and allow Him to remedy this problem for me. Put my life in His hands. That's where it begins. Romans 12:1 is where it continues. I'm going to be back here in the back here in a moment. Bill and Hudson will be back here with me. And if you've got something on your heart, something you need to talk about, something you want to pray about, if there's something related to, things just happened here today, if there's some commitment that needs to be made, you need to know next steps, whatever, come talk to us. That's what we're here for. Let us pray for you and be there for you any way we can. Let me pray for you now, and I'm going to hand it back over to these guys. Boy, what a great job y'all did this morning. I mean, every Sunday's fantastic, but we're so thankful for the way you guys do things, preparing our hearts for worship the way you do. It's just fantastic. Lord, we're thankful to you for this day. We thank you, Lord, for each person in this fellowship. Some are here, some aren't. Wherever they are, Lord, we're just thankful to you for this church body and the way that you work among us, the way that you love us and care for us the way that you do. And Lord, I think some of the most wonderful ways we experience your love and goodness is just through the love and goodness of those around us. You minister to us through brothers and sisters the way you do. And Lord, such a fantastic thing that you're doing for us. And it's only possible because of that thing you did for us at the cross. Lord, I know apart from the cross, many of us, we wouldn't even know each other. So we trace it all back to the cross. We trace it all back to you and what you did there, carrying our sin away, clothing us in your righteousness. Lord, that's all a done deal. It's a done thing once we come to you. It's just we wear that righteousness into eternity. And Lord, there is this response that ought to come from us. This expression of heart gratitude towards you for what you've done. And it seems that everything else that we could possibly do is just kind of trivial. It's just a little trinket or just a small token gesture if it's not this thing that Paul's called us to. So Lord, as we stand here together with our heads bowed in your presence, we pray that you would help us to know how to do this a little more completely than we've done it in the past. We have an idea of how it ought to be done and how it should be done completely, but we look at our lives and we know there's still more to give. So Father, we pray that you would help us today to know how to put a little bit more of ourselves on that altar in your presence. A little bit more of our lives than what's been on there before. Lord, help us to not do such a thing begrudgingly, but out of genuine gratitude, joyously. Giving it all over to you as best as we know how. Lord, help us. We ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.